Welcome to World Changer Weekend 2018. This is guest speaker Jimmy Bratcher.
Well, good morning. I have just a few minutes and I just want to take it to do a couple of things. And that's first is that I want to share with you some things that hopefully you can grab so that when you leave here, you've got part of what I found with you. You know, it's the whole thing about every time I preach anymore, I always conclude my prayer right before I start preaching and say, Lord, when I'm done with this message and we leave here, may we do the word and not just hear it. May we be that. And so have you ever noticed how you can show an opportunity to two people and one of them will see success and opportunity and one of them will see failure and fear? And because how you see what you see is so important. And when we see things, we don't typically even question what we see because it's an infallible fact that we see what we see. But the way we see what we see is incredibly important. I had a situation happen a few months ago where a guy that helps me with our ministry called and he said, I need this specific picture of you. And so I knew the picture, but it meant that I had to go back through thousands and thousands of pictures in my Dropbox file to find the particular picture. And while I was doing it, I came across two pictures. I came across a picture of my daughter Amanda at 8 years old. It was her birthday, and she was standing in our kitchen. She was holding a teddy bear. I came across a picture of my son Jason, who, for those of you that know, by the way, Jason had surgery on Wednesday. And just a big, huge deal. It's his seventh surgery in 2 years. And this one appears to be the fix that he needed. So we're really thankful for that. But anyway, this picture was Jason playing on the floor with a toy when he was about 6 years old. And I saw those pictures and I just kept scrolling through it. When all of a sudden I hear a voice in my heart that says, how did you feel when you saw those pictures? And so I immediately knew how I felt. We were living in very bad situation. We were believers, but we was po'. I mean, if it was Christmas, all we were exchanging were glances, you know? I mean, it was bad, bad. And I remember all of those emotions associated with that. All the things that I couldn't provide at that moment in life just came rushing back into my heart. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, Jimmy, you need good eyes. And I was reminded of the verse in Luke chapter 11 that reads like this, Jesus speaking, and he says, your eye is the lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is good, your whole body is filled with light. But when it's bad, your body is filled with darkness. Make sure that the light you think you have is not actually darkness. If you are filled with light, with no dark corners, then your whole life will be radiant as though a floodlight were filling you with light. And when I looked at those pictures, I completely overlooked the wonder of those moments. I didn't see my son without a care in the world playing with a toy on the floor. I saw everything that wasn't there in that picture. I didn't see my daughter with a teddy bear on her eighth birthday. And Jesus tells us that we have to have a particular type of eye, that we have to have an eye that is good, because how we see what we see is so important. Like, take for instance, Israel in the Promised Land. There were 12 men that were hand-selected to go do what? To go see something. And all of them went, and you know the story, but only two of them had good eyes and could actually see the overlaid promise of God on the destiny that God had spoken to them. They had good eyes, and the others had an evil report. They had bad eyes. We have to have good eyes. Jesus in John chapter 4, which is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, he said this, John 4:35, you know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest. But I say, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. So Jesus says, okay, you say it's 4 months and then comes harvest. But I say, look, lift up your eyes, look. Because now's the time for harvest. So the context of this story in John chapter 4 is that Jesus all of a sudden shocks his disciples, and he says, okay, I want to go to Samaria. He was on a journey, and the Jewish people typically didn't go through Samaria, even though it was shorter by distance, but they would walk around it because culturally, they considered, even though they were Jews, the Samaritans to be, they didn't even call them a people, they called them a herd. And they called them dogs, and they were racially, they were unacceptable to them. And Jesus says, but I have to go. So he goes, and he finds this well. And he's sitting on this well. And the disciples, he sends them to get food. And so they go into town to get food, and this woman comes out at noon. And you know the story, the woman of the well. And Jesus has this incredible conversation with her. He talks to her about worship. He talks to her about the Holy Spirit. He talks to her about all kinds of things, even to go so far as revealing himself as Messiah, which is something that he rarely did. He violated so many rules in this. He blew apart the culture of that time. He wasn't inhibited, I can say that word. I bought it at the big word section in Walmart a couple of days ago. He wasn't inhibited by what the culture said, because here he is talking to a woman who is a Samaritan at a well. And that typically, wells in that time were places to hook up. And so he's very controversial about this. He's talking to this woman. He blows up sexism right there on the spot. He blows up racism right there on the spot. And he begins to speak to this woman. And, you know, he says, go get your husband. You all know this story. Go get your husband. And she says, I don't have a husband. And I can see Jesus just kind of leaning back and just having a big grin on his face and saying, you know what? You're absolutely right. You don't have a husband. You've had five husbands. And the guy that you're shacked up with, he's not even your husband. And the thing that freaks me out the most about this story is that the woman, she goes back into town, and her announcement in town was, come see this man that told me everything that I ever did. I don't know about y'all, but I don't want anybody knowing everything that I ever did. But she saw, this was her deal. And I think it was because of Jesus' response to her. He didn't see a Samaritan. He didn't see a woman. He didn't see someone that culture had outcasted. He didn't see someone that was full of sin. But you ever read your Bible like this? You ever just put yourself in the story? You ever do that? I mean, if you don't, you should. You should put yourself into these stories and find that place where you're one of the characters in this story. And if we did this, we would have to put ourselves in the shoes of the disciples. The disciples probably passed this woman, and you know the story, the woman went into town, she was the first real evangelist to the Samaritan people, and she brings all these people out. Her name, by the way, I looked it up, her name was Pho Tini. She was like part Vietnamese, you know, she liked pho. Some of y'all you'll get that later. But Pho Tini, and she actually took the gospel all the way to Rome. It's an incredible thing, but she goes back into town. She tells all these people, and they all come out, and they actually compel Jesus, and Jesus stays there in this village for 2 days. Completely shocking, controversial, totally unheard of. But if we put ourselves into this story, we're the disciples. The disciples probably passed her as she was coming out of town. They didn't see what Jesus saw. They walked all through town and didn't see all of these people that the word of her testimony would touch. And the Bible says that many believed on him because of what she said. And then when they came out and heard him for themselves, they even more believed on him. The disciples, they didn't see all of that. There was something wrong with their eyes. They didn't have good eyes. The disciples come back from town with sandwiches, you know, because that's, if we were in the story, that's what we'd be eating, barbecue. They came back with barbecue. It was brisket. It wasn't ribs, you know, it wasn't pork. And they came back And they see Jesus talking to this woman, and they're shocked, and they begin to complain among themselves. They didn't see the value in this woman. They didn't have the eyes that could see the move that was about to happen in the lives of hundreds or thousands of people that were right there, because they were blinded because they didn't have good eyes. And Jesus says, you say it's 4 months and then comes harvest. But I say the harvest is ready right now. And so when you and I leave here today, we're going to see people. We're going to see people in stressful situations, because you all are going to be in a hurry to get something to eat. And you're going to want some service right now. You know what I'm saying? And we have to have eyes that look beyond what we're experiencing, what our culture says is acceptable, and see these people with the eyes that Jesus saw these people. So in just a few days, Sherry and I, hopefully, Sherry's with Jason now, helping him recover in Dallas, and we will take our pilgrimage, as we do every year, to Sturgis, to the motorcycle rally. This will be the 11th consecutive year that we've went, and we'll be playing on a little stage on the west end of Main Street that looks absolutely horrible. I mean, it looks like a bunch of hillbillies came to town and they didn't have much money at all. And but it's the most effective ministry location that we've ever had. We played on the biggest stages out there, but when it all comes down to it, this little stage on Main Street is the most effective. And what we do is we have ACD. Bikers have a culture just like any other culture. And bikers are very consistent. They're very reverent and respectful. Respect is a big deal in the biker community, with most of them, except the weekend warriors, which is what I am. But the biker community has a thing called the bike blessing. Every biker wants his bike to be prayed over. Every biker wants a priest or a pastor. I mean, even the Pope did one of these a few years ago at the Vatican. So it's legit, you know. So we get to put a legit stamp on it. But so we recorded a little prayer, a 60-second prayer I recorded and put on the front of these CDs. And then it has a whole bunch of my music, and then it has mine and Sherry's story on it. We were just 2 weeks ago, I was preaching in Tulsa at a church there, a friend of ours, and in the lobby, Sherry comes in. I'm setting up in the auditorium. She comes in and she says, you have to come out and you have to meet this couple. And so I went out to meet this couple, and it was a man, his wife, and their grandson. And they started talking to me. They said, you know, we were riding our motorcycle someplace in Missouri, which is where I live, and you all pulled into a hotel where we were staying, and we started talking, and you gave me one of your CDs. You said, I put it in my saddlebag and left it there for a couple of years. And I was cleaning out my bike, and I found it, and I thought, I'm going to listen to this CD. And he said, I can't tell you how much it inspired my life. And, you know, there's people all over the world, because what we do when we go there, we don't go to harvest. People always say, they ask me this question, they say, okay, you're in that environment, how much persecution have you ever had? What kind of persecution do you get? Because some people qualify effectiveness by persecution, which to me is like crazy, you know? No, it's more like not persecution, you're talking about alienation. You know, how many people did you alienate because of what you said and the way you said it? And I'll say zero. And I said, well, how do you do that? And it's like, well, it's easy. You respect people. You love people. You care about people. You see something better for them than they see in themselves. And you speak to that. And, you know, people everywhere, you included, you can remember every time somebody spoke into your life, yes, that could see you, yes, when you couldn't see you. Amen. And our world is at a place
where you and I need to have a prophetic word in our mouth, not of some goofy, thus saith the Lord kind of thing, speaking to the heart of people who can't see good in themselves. And when we open up our eyes and see something of more value in them than they see to themselves, and begin to speak those things into people, it revolutionizes their world and our world as well. It's the most fun I've ever had in my life. Drop me in someplace. We just finished, back in June, I'll quit. We just finished our transformation tour, which is a tour of prisons that we do in Kansas every year. We did 6 prisons in 5 days. And it's just amazing. Because here are thousands of men on a yard that are incarcerated. One guy came to me last year and he said, you know, I've been in prison for a long time. He said, today was the first day that I didn't feel like I was locked up. But to watch, and I prayed over every one of them as a group, and I stood up there and just began to speak good in their lives that they don't see for themselves. And the culture won't tell them that. And most of the church won't tell them that. But we have to have good eyes in order to be able to see those things and to speak to those things. Jim Richards, thank you all so much.